Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the first time I've taken the microphone, so let me just say good afternoon to everyone. I just want to say from the outset how much we appreciated the astute, insightful chairmanship of this working group, this group of experts. It was extremely important that we had knowledgeable people running the group and able to coordinate the different views from different people, and this should be commended. We're really grateful for the very hard work that was put in by the chairman. Concerning the Luxembourg Rail Protocol, the current position is that we are waiting for the fourth ratification, which we expect to happen literally any day. The fourth ratification almost certainly will come from Spain. There is almost a little competition between Spain and South Africa as to who will be the fourth ratifying state, but we think it will be Spain. But South Africa, we hope, will come quite quickly thereafter. Under the terms of the protocol, it can only enter into force on the fulfillment of two conditions. One is that there are at least four ratifications of the protocol, and secondly, that the registry is certified by the Secretary to the Supervisory Authority. The Supervisory Authority is a new authority set up by the terms of the protocol, and the Secretariat is OTIF, and OTIF must certify that the registry is ready to operate. As distinguished delegates will appreciate, it's no good having the treaty in place if there's no system to register the international interests in a way that is completely reliable. And I can assure everyone in this meeting that a considerable amount of work has been going on behind the scenes to create a registry system which is fit for purpose, which is updated, working with the best practices in the cloud, best security practices to ensure that the registry can operate seamlessly. So what we expect to happen is that Spain probably will ratify in the next few weeks. That will open the door for detailed work to take place during the early part of 2023 to ensure that the registry is ready to operate, I would hope, during the first half of next year. One of the innovations that we've put in place recently in our discussions with the registrar is to create a detailed list of outputs where we expect the registry to provide detailed services, and those list has been agreed, and what will happen over the next few months is that the preparatory commission appointed by the diplomatic conference for the adoption of the Luxembourg Protocol will work closely with the registrar to ensure full implementation of the mandate that's given to the registrar. It will also require work on the regulations, which will actually control the way that the registry operates, which will be passed by the supervisory authority. So that gives you an insight into the current state of play. If I may, Mr. Chair, take the opportunity to answer your question at the same time, if you don't mind. The situation is that the treaty only applies to create this enhanced security interest where the debtor is in a contracting state at the time that interest is created. So in principle, the treaty does not apply to interests which have been created before the protocol comes into force in a particular applicable contracting state. However, there are provisions in the protocol to deal with what are called pre-existing interests. And one of the innovations of the rail protocol, as distinct from the aircraft protocol, is to make it possible for contracting states to effectively stipulate a transition period beyond which those pre-existing interests lose their priority against subsequently registered interests. So there is an impact on pre-existing financings to the extent that they are private financings and people wish to keep their priority, and in which case you would have to register that international interest within that transitional period. Having said all of that, the key thing about the Luxembourg Protocol is that it's voluntary. It's not mandatory on parties. It's only going to be used, as we can see, when there is private finance being provided for the financing of rolling stock, whether it's new or used rolling stock, prospectively. And then when the creditor decides that he wants to use it, so there is no retrospective effect in relation to existing rolling stock, and the only impact that it can have on existing financings is to take away the priority of the secured party if they don't register their interest, which they are perfectly able to do. So in summary, it has very little impact on a past financed rolling stock unless people want it to have an impact, in which case they can either refinance or they can register the pre-existing interest, but that's entirely up to them. Thank you.